Governor Walker is throwing his support behind a bill that would eliminate the 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases. The bill had a public hearing last week in the Assembly, and there will be a public hearing in the Senate a week from today. And we'll have a public radio public hearing on the proposal during this hour's Big Question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 o'clock. It is actually coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 4th. As we do most every Wednesday at this time, we have two guests from different viewpoints to discuss today's big question on whether or not Wisconsin should eliminate the two-day waiting period before someone can buy a handgun. And we will invite your questions and your arguments for or against the idea at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will hold a sound off at the end of the hour where you, after hearing from our guest lawmakers and other callers, can vote in an on-air straw poll on the big question. And we will also invite you to vote in our online big question poll at WPR.org/joy. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Van Wongard, a Republican state senator from Racine and the Majority Caucus Vice Chair. He is the chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. He's a retired police officer and author of the bill that would eliminate the two-day waiting period on handgun purchases. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Also with us is Fred Kessler, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. He's also a former circuit court judge. He is a member of the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks to both of you for joining us on the big question. Let's start with you, Senator Wongard, since you're the author of this bill. In your opening statement, why do we need to eliminate the 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases?
Well, first of all, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
I could just tell you this. It's been many years that we have changed up the process for doing background checks, and our technical advances have advanced pretty quickly. You know, everybody has a cell phone with them now, and everything's digital, and we have the opportunity and ability to be able to go through data faster than we ever could before. And it's our responsibility as legislators to also look at laws and reform those laws that need to be adjusted and changed and amended as, of course, we move along in our daily lives. So this is one of those situations where years ago we looked at it that it just didn't make sense to have somebody come in, pass a background check, be totally able to purchase that firearm and possess it, and they couldn't walk out the door with it because of the 48-hour waiting period. 48-hour waiting period was originally put into play back in 1976 when we had issues about the wrong people getting handguns, felons, and those types of things, because there was really no way to determine if, in fact, that person was a felon or could properly possess that firearm. So they put this law on the books, and I worked in law enforcement, started back in 1972. I worked in the Record Bureau. At that point in time, when you did a record check, an instant check basically took you 2 days, because we actually search through 3x5 index cards in a filing system, where if your name was in that filing system, we would go alphabetically, pull the card, look at the card, see if there was an arrest record, then we'd go to the arrest records, pull those, and see if that individual had been arrested for any criminal arrest that would preclude them from possessing that firearm. So the dealership would call in the police department. They would make that request usually to the local municipality. And, you know, at that point, there wasn't a sharing of information. So you didn't have, as an example, I'm in Racine, and if I lived in Racine, they would check with the Racine municipality because that's where I lived. They might check with the county sheriff. But if they didn't check with, say, Union Grove or Sturtevant, which were smaller towns that had police departments, they could have had arrests that would preclude somebody from possessing that firearm that would not be in the system potentially yet.
Yeah.
And it took some time for it to get on NCIC and CIB if it was a felony. By the time the disposition got on there, it took some time, too. So now we have the ability to have instant checks, truly instant checks, where when they do a handgun hotline check now, about 10.6% of those handgun checks out of over almost 103,000 checks DOJ did last year in 2014, almost 11% of those were done in less than a minute.
All right, so let me get Fred Kessler to respond to that point. It doesn't take as long to do a background check, Representative
Well,
Kessler.
I'm not sure I agree with the senator. I became a judge in 1972, and the minute I had to set bail, and I was assigned to the misdemeanor court, so I got all the felonies in order to set the preliminary hearings for them. We did have NCIC, or NCIS, and we were able to immediately see a record. But that isn't the real reason that I'm opposed to it. What I'm afraid of is that somebody is really angry at somebody, and they decide they're going to get them. Or somebody is really depressed and said, I'm going to end my life. I'm going to commit suicide. I don't want that person to walk into the gun store and pick up the gun in their angry mood or their depressed mood so that they can instantly walk over and commit the act that they had planned. The delay, in my opinion, allows people to cool down and basically is going to end up, I believe, saving lives.
Yeah, what about that, Senator Wongard, the cooling off period aspect?
Well, the problem with that theory, and it's a theory that I think has been put into play over the years because people think about it as okay, we're going to allow this person to cool down. Well, when things occur in the heat of passion, and I have dealt with domestic violence issues in my 30-year career as a law enforcement officer, responded to those calls for service, when an individual is all of a sudden in that heat of passion, angry at somebody, they don't say, "All right, I'm gonna get you." Yeah, but wait a minute, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go to the store and I'm gonna buy a handgun, fill out all the paperwork and everything, and come back. When it occurs, when they get upset, it's just like take a road rage incident where somebody's in probably one of the most dangerous weapons that we have, your automobile. And, of course, everybody who drives an automobile, when they put their key in the ignition, has the opportunity to exercise the power of life and death over everybody they come in contact. We have road rage situations that occur, and they're instantaneous, and they're in the vehicle. They don't sit there and think about it and then jump out in the car and go and do it. When we have situations like this happen, this would be like saying, okay, we're going to put a 48-hour waiting period on steak knife sets at Kohl's because people commit suicides and they commit crimes with edged weapons. And so that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
All right, what about that, Representative Kessler?
Well, let me tell you, it's a lot easier to kill somebody with a gun, particularly with a handgun, than it is to kill somebody with a knife or with a hammer. Yes, those things can occur. But we know statistically when it's been analyzed that the likelihood of death increases 50% of the time if you have particularly a handgun. So we know that. And the likelihood in suicides increases very substantially if you have access to a handgun. And if you don't have access to a handgun, this is something that, you know, particularly with the mentally ill or particularly with people who are depressed, this is something that they don't instantly decide that they're going to do. They've been depressed for a while. They sit there and say, I want to end it. How am I going to end it? They finally thought, well, maybe I should just get a gun. So then they go over and get the gun, and then they can end it. And before their relatives even have an idea how depressed they are, before they have the opportunity to take them into some type of mental health treatment, or in the situation of the violence where it's domestic violence, you know, the fact is, yes, people do get angry, and they can get sufficiently angry and continue to be angry enough to get that gun. But if there's that time period and they have a chance to sleep on it, they have the time to be observed by family members and friends, they may be, the anger may be alleviated a little bit, and you're not going to see the end result. You're never going to end up having a perfect situation, and I understand that. But I think that that the two-day delay saves lives.
We are talking with two state lawmakers about today's big question. Should Wisconsin do away with its two-day waiting period for buying handguns? We are talking with Senator Van Wongard, who is the author of the bill that would eliminate this 48-hour waiting period on handgun purchases, and Representative Fred Kessler, who is opposed to this change. And we are welcoming your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll get to your calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's big question, we have two lawmakers with us talking about a proposal to waive Wisconsin's two-day waiting period to buy handguns. What do you think of this? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Senator Van Wongard, a Republican state senator from Racine, the Majority Caucus vice chair, chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, and a retired police officer. He is the author of the bill that would eliminate the two-day waiting period on handgun purchases. We are also talking with Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and a retired judge, Representative Fred Kessler, who is a member of the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. A public hearing will be held on this bill before the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety next Wednesday, a week from today, March 11th. So let's take some calls for our guest lawmakers. Mitch in Toma is with us first. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, good morning. I would like to say, One, I'm a member of the NRA, and I totally disagree with, even though I'm a Republican, I disagree with the Republican lawmaker.
Why?
We need to keep that two-day waiting period because, like the judge said, I mean, you have a cooling-off period. You know, you need it. And that's just how I feel about it. And I really think that if it passes, I think Governor Walker should veto it. I mean, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm a Republican, and I pretty much vote straight down party lines, but I just disagree with this law. So thank you, and y'all have a nice day.
All right, thank you, Mitch. You have a nice day, too. Well, Senator
Joy,
Wongard,
this is,
yeah, just because he's
Joy,
saying it's somebody against this bill, let's get Senator Wongard to respond to that.
Okay.
Well, you know, I respect his position and what his thoughts are, but I can tell you from my experience, 30 years in law enforcement, and what I've seen, and from just the AMA study as an example, it shows that waiting periods do not reduce homicides or overall suicide rates, and that, you know, when you look at what has transpired over the years. You know, we have 43 other states that don't have waiting periods, and it doesn't show whether there's a reduction or increase in the crime rate as a result of that. And as an example, Fred indicated that people that are going to consider a suicide, they don't do that instantly. They don't make that decision instantly, and they do it. They're very succinct with what they do, and the fact that they made a choice to use a handgun. Yeah, I think most of the suicides that I saw that dealt with firearms were with shotguns. And those are readily available, and I can purchase that shotgun, and I can walk out the door after I pass a background check. You know, this is one of those things where it just shows that waiting periods do not reduce the threat of somebody causing a crime or somebody who is going to commit suicide. And, you know, the average time to crime for a firearm in the state of Wisconsin is 11 years. So that means that that firearm has been owned by somebody for 11 years before it's used in a crime. So it's not an instant thing that occurs 1, 2, 3. I mean, if that was the case, we'd have to put waiting periods, like I said, on steak knife sets and baseball bats and everything else that was potentially used in the heat of passion.
Now it's your turn, Representative Kessler.
Well, first, let me say I want to agree with the gentleman from Toma, because he supports a position that is actually supported by 50% of the NRA members and almost two-thirds of the gun owners. They believe that the waiting period and the cooling-off period is important. And the statistics I see and that I have show that if you use a firearm in a family family assault, there are 12 times more likely that death will result than if you use any other weapon. And in suicides, again, you're talking 5 times more likely. I think that the cooling off period is absolutely essential on this. And I think that we are, by eliminating it, we are increasing the death rate very substantially. And I sort of rely on the what I think is one of the more serious offenses that occurred in Wisconsin, and that was where the people have purchased the gun through the loophole that the gun show and non-business purchase of there, where you're not required to do the background check. I think the most important thing we should do is close that loophole so that if people acquire a gun, regardless of how they acquire it, that a background check is done and that the two-day period continues. The great tragedy we had in the Milwaukee area was a shooting that occurred at a spa in Brookfield. And in that case, it was a domestic violence-based case, but the person bought a handgun illegally. He bought it through the loophole. He had been charged in the past, but the as happens in many of the domestic violence cases, the victim never showed up at trial. They were either scared or they had reconciled or whatever reason, and the person accepted their abuse. He purchased the gun, he went to the spot, he killed 3 women, and I think wounded 2 or 3 others. It was one of the most outrageous examples of gun abuse in Wisconsin.
Well, I know that Representative Kessler backs an amendment that would still call for a waiting period for those who have been arrested multiple times for domestic abuse but never convicted of a crime that forbids them from owning firearms. What about an amendment like that to your bill, Senator Wongard?
Waiting periods do not improve the position as far as reducing crimes or homicides or suicides. It just doesn't. It doesn't happen. And I think that's a different issue. When we're looking at this, we're looking at the individual that can lawfully possess that firearm, that's walking in the door, going to a licensed dealer, making a purchase, a lawful purchase. And I'd like to point out that this is a lawful product which is being sold. I know of no other lawful products in the United States that have a 48-hour waiting period on them. Otherwise, like I said, we'd have it on steak knife sets and everything else. But, you know, that just doesn't the waiting period just it doesn't work that way. There's a fellow, a professor, Dr. Marvin Wolfgang. He did a study, and he's from the University of Pennsylvania in 1958. He wrote a book, Patterns in Criminal Homicide. It's still used today. And his quote is, people will use the most efficient engine immediately available, unquote. And that has not changed from 1958, that people are going to use whatever they have available to them at the time. A waiting period for an individual that can lawfully possess it. What about the victim? What about the gal that years ago, and there have been many times since then, that has gone in to purchase a firearm lawfully? They could lawfully possess it. They've been threatened or beaten by their opposing spouse or boyfriend or whatever, and they can't get it. And this gal back in 1991 ended up, she went in to purchase her firearm so she could protect herself, and her ex-husband came back in less than 48 hours, killed her and her 2 children because she couldn't defend herself. I mean, what about the victims' rights here for a change? And I would disagree that the NRA members that I know, we had our annual rifle club meeting in Racine at the Racine Kyling Rifle Club this past weekend, and we have over 850 members, the largest rifle club, fully NRA, in the state of Wisconsin, and over 250 people were there, and they were clapping that we're getting rid of this because these guys, it's a time tax on them. They have to go in, show they can walk in with two or three firearms on them that they can lawfully possess, pass the background check in seconds, but they can't walk out of there with the firearm that they want to purchase. If it's a handgun, if it's a rifle or a long gun or a shotgun, they can. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Let me share a couple of Facebook comments and get you both to respond. Katie on Facebook says, if you need a gun so desperately that you can't wait 48 hours, that's usually a red flag. Peter responds to Katie, it is absolutely a red flag, but it is also a red flag that indicates that the person should not be sold a gun. The woman who was murdered by her estranged ex during her 48-hour waiting period desperately needed that gun. And that's the example, I believe, that Senator Wongard just mentioned. Representative Kessler, what about that, the victim?
Well, I think most of the victims are not going to purchase guns. I mean, I just think that these are people who generally do not plan to acquire a gun. They don't plan to kill their abusive spouse in self-defense. That's not just one of the things that I have ever seen. It's usually a situation where there's one person, the abuser, and that's the person who's likely to commit the crime. And the likelihood of the victim doing anything that would be that life-threatening is almost impossible.
And Senator Wongard, Katie mentions, you know, that's a red flag. If somebody needs a gun so desperately they can't wait 48 hours, what is the harm
if I can lawfully possess a firearm, I'm a certified retired law enforcement officer under H.R. 218. I certify every year to carry a firearm in all 50 states. And I drive to Cabela's, which is about an hour drive from my home. I walk in the door, fill out the paperwork. I want to buy that handgun. And gee whiz, I have to wait for 2 days. So I have to drive back to Racine and wait for 2 days and then drive back again to pick up my handgun. Now I have to wait, number one. It's extra time for me. It's extra money for me to get there and get back. Not a big deal. But so does the firearms dealer. They have to now put that back into a secure place because it's been sold. There's all these additional steps that they have to go through. It's lost man hours and lost time when they don't have to do that, when it's a lawful item to begin with. You know, this is something where in the heat of passion, people are not going to sit and say, you know, I'm threatening to kill somebody. Wait a minute. I'm going to run to the store and buy a handgun and go through all the paperwork and everything. They're going to use whatever is at hand and what is the weapon of opportunity at that point in time. And, I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we should preclude somebody who can lawfully possess that firearm from being able to purchase it and being able to carry it with them right then and there, especially if they have carry conceal. Back in the early 70s when this happened in 76, we didn't have carry conceal in the state of Wisconsin. We didn't have the NRA that had all these educational programs on how to use that firearm. We didn't have gun clubs that were focusing on handgun safety and educating the public and all this data and being able to Google things like this. We do now, so it just doesn't make sense for the time.
Senator Van Wongard is a Republican state senator from Racine. He is the author of a bill that would eliminate the 2-day waiting period on handgun purchases in Wisconsin, a similar bill had a public hearing last week in the state assembly. This bill will receive a public hearing next week before the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. We are also talking with State Representative Fred Kessler, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, who is opposed to eliminating the 48-hour waiting period to buy handguns. Our next caller is Dwayne in Hayward. Hello, Dwayne.
Hi. I'm also a retired law enforcement officer with 33 years of experience, and I've experienced the same thing. The waiting period doesn't work, and it's useless. For one of the reasons, you can also buy rifles and shotgun without one. Also, there was just a federal court ruling, Sylvester versus Harris, that said waiting periods are unconstitutional for people who have guns. And that was all of a federal court in California.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Representative Kessler, why don't you take that one? Waiting periods unconstitutional.
Let me respond instead to Senator Van Yard said. I think that it's not that big a deal for Cabela's to put the gun back into a secure situation. This is not a manpower situation. This is something that's going to take 5 or 10 minutes to do at best, if that long. Frankly, yeah,
but Senator Wongard has to drive back an hour the next in 2 days.
Well, if he wants to get his gun from Cabela's up in West Bend or in town of Germantown, yes, that's going to be the case. But that's not the only place that sells guns. And so, you know, he's made a choice to go to a certain facility to get the gun. Then you've made that type choice, and the cost of driving up there and the time it takes is a choice that you make. It's just like, do I want to spend my, go to the water park in Wisconsin Dells, or do I want to go to the one in the hotel in the Milwaukee area? You make those choices.
Well, and let me get you the Representative Kessler to respond to Dwayne's criticism. I don't know if we want to get into a big debate over whether they're constitutional or not, but he did mention that, and we've been talking about it all hour, that this 48-hour waiting period doesn't do any good. It doesn't prevent any crime or violence. And you think differently. Do you have evidence that it does prevent that violence?
Yes, the various studies that I have seen, and they have been basically pushed by people who are very concerned about gun violence. They said 50% of the suicides in the United States are committed with a gun. 90% of suicides attempts are with a firearm. If there is enough to result in a hospital, they're going to result in death. We know that the statistics from the 211 poll that was taken in December of 2011, 74% of the people without a firearm support a five-day waiting period. That was a five-day waiting period, while 66% of non-NRA gun owners and 50% of the NRA members support a five-day waiting period.
Yeah.
I think responsible gun owners don't share the senator's point of view.
Representative Kessler? I'm sorry, the other point that Dwayne made, and Senator Wongard brought it up too, is that there's no waiting period for rifles or shotguns. Why should the handgun be any different?
Well, I have to tell you, I saw this as a judge. I was a tough judge on carrying concealed weapons before the carrying concealed was legalized, because, you know, I felt those were the really dangerous weapons. I know that if you go and get your shotgun, and you're going to walk down to the spa, or you're going to park your car in front of the spa in Brookfield, somebody is going to see you walking into that spa with a shotgun or with a rifle, and they are going to call the police. It's going to give the police and the people inside a couple of seconds, or maybe even a couple of more minutes, to defend themselves or to hide. And that, I think, can save lives.
Well, we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We will then get our guests to give us some of their concluding arguments on today's big question. Should Wisconsin eliminate the two-day waiting period to buy handguns? We are talking with the author of that bill in the state Senate, which would eliminate the 48-hour waiting period on handgun purchases, Senator Van Wongard. And we are talking with an opponent to that bill, State Representative Fred Kessler. And we are welcoming your questions for them and your views on this. After we are done debating the issue with our two state lawmakers, we will open up the lines and give you an opportunity to sound off. That means we'll give you 30 seconds to state your case as to whether or not you support this bill or not, and why or why not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's Big Question, we have two state lawmakers talking with us about whether Wisconsin should do away with its two-day waiting period for buying handguns. We are talking with the author of that bill and a critic, an opponent of that bill, and you. Senator Van Wongard is a Republican state senator from Racine. He's the Majority Caucus Vice Chair, the Chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, a retired police officer, and author of the bill that would eliminate the two-day waiting period on handgun purchases. And we are also talking with Fred Kessler, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, a retired circuit court judge, a member of the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. And before we move on to another call, Senator Wongard, giving you an opportunity to respond to Representative Kessler's statements, and I would like to kind of get your thoughts on why there is a waiting period on handguns right now, but not on long rifles and shotguns.
Well, first of all, just addressing the spy issue, the spy had nothing to do with a waiting period. This guy, he owned firearms before, so that really wasn't an issue. It's really not realistic that this would, if somebody's carrying a shotgun in, that, you know, it'd give people a run and hide under the desk. That's not very realistic either, because there's hacksaws. People cut off their guns, at least from what I saw on the street. I would look at the fact that the American Medical Association study and the University of Maryland study, just to cite two, indicated there's no correlation in waiting periods and crime. 43 states already have no waiting period, and they have not been repealed. And so that tells me that they're getting it right, because they're in line with federal law also. My constituents, the NRA members that I know, and the Racine County Line Rifle Club, the largest in the state of Wisconsin, support no waiting lists. And, you know, this bill strengthens background checks. When they do a background check for a handgun, it checks 11 databases, which ping dozens of other databases. When they did it back in 1976, they called the police department, and I did a file check by hand. This is 100 million times different than what it was in 1976. And we're currently looking at also, with this bill, a friendly amendment that if you do have a situation where somebody has difficulty with clearing their background, the required time right now is 3 days that the Department of Justice would have to get back to them. We're looking at a friendly amendment that would extend that to 5 days to give them an extra couple days to be able to get back if there's a difficulty. And those difficulties are like when it's Johnny Jones, and you've got a million people that have that similar name, and they have to go through and sort that out. That gives them the extra time to be able to identify that. And the average time is about 4.2 hours, I think it is, for an average Department of Justice check. And my goodness, they did over 102,000, almost 103,000 handgun checks. So,
yeah. So I'm sorry to clarify this for us. If I want to buy a handgun and I don't have the waiting period, what's going to happen? I'm going to walk into the gun store and say I want this gun, and I walk out, or I just have to hang around for 10 minutes, or what happens?
That would be correct. You would have to wait until that handgun check comes back that you are clear. And about almost 11% of those come back within seconds. The average handgun time is 4.3 hours for that to come back, and that includes the ones that are difficult, where they have multiple names that are close. Okay. So they have to go back and they have to search all those databases, and it's got to come up. All the stars have to align correctly when you do that handgun check. You know, it's not just pinging one police department or just CCAP or NCIC, CIB. It's pinging all of these different databases throughout the country.
Let's go to Benjamin in Waukesha, who has been waiting patiently. Thanks for waiting, Benjamin. You're on the air.
Hi. I live in Waukesha now, and I am a gun owner, and I also have a concealed carry permit. And like many people in Wisconsin, as soon as the law was passed, you know, I ran out and got my concealed permit, not really because I felt I needed to carry a gun all the time, but simply because I could, and, you know, I like going to the ranges, and at the time I was living in sort of a dodgy neighborhood in Milwaukee, and it made me feel safer. But I also have learned quite a bit about the culture, especially in Wisconsin, and you guys have touched on a lot of the points that I was going to make, but just to give you an example, in my situation, I've moved around a lot, even though I've been here for 8 or 9 years, and one of the places that I lived was in California. For me to buy a handgun and even a long gun, because of the background checks, it will actually take up to 30 days for me to be approved to be able to come and pick up the gun. And the 30 days is not the average time it takes for the background check to come back clear. It's the deadline that the gun shop has to obtain the information. So if they don't get a response from the various Department of Justices, et cetera, that I'm qualified to own a gun, then they call me and go, well, the time period is up and you can come and pick up your gun. So because of that, I started exploring the what everybody calls the gun show loophole. But what I don't think most people in Wisconsin know, A, is that at gun shows, you'll have, especially in Wisconsin, you have a huge array of vendors that have, you know, all of the nice new guns.
Benjamin, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be rude after you've waited so patiently, but we have very limited time. And can you give us the specific point you'd like our guest to respond to?
Sure. The specific point is that getting rid of the two-day waiting period in a state that is just now allowed to have concealed weapons permits and a culture that is not used to having people walking around with guns is a really foolish idea. I don't think the steak knife analogy holds up. If someone makes someone angry at a bank and you can run out and buy a gun and come back and shoot them through the bank window, et cetera, a crime of passion or suicide, and not to mention getting your family prepared for the fact that there's going to be a gun in the house, especially if there's children.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. I am going to ask, because of our limited time, Senator Wongard to respond to that that concern with your closing argument as to why it's a good idea to eliminate the 48-hour waiting period.
We have a constitutional right to protect ourselves and our families. We have a constitutional right to possess. If we can possess a firearm, we can carry it, open carry it now. And we have the ability, if I meet that criteria and I'm a lawful person that can lawfully possess a lawful product, I should be able to have that product in my hand now. I shouldn't have to wait and be a second-class citizen. I shouldn't have to become a victim. I believe that this waiting period is outdated. We have data checks that they can check in an instantaneous over the 48 hours that was needed back in the 1970s. My goodness, we're in the 21st century. We need to come up to that. And you know, this is about understanding the individuals that are purchasing these firearms, that are walking in the federal firearms dealers and putting their name down a line and showing identification, going through that entire process, is not the dirtball that's purchasing a gun out of a trunk and doing an armed robbery at the 7-Eleven. These are the individuals that we're trying to protect ourselves against, those ones that get those firearms illegally. And I don't think that my family should be forced to become a victim, and I don't think a victim of any kind of abuse or any type of use should not be able to protect themselves, especially if they can lawfully possess that firearm. We are going to strengthen background checks. We're going to continue to make sure that that happens. We're going to do due diligence. And you know, if that dealer doesn't feel comfortable that that individual should possess that firearm, they're not going to transfer it. And by the way, at a lot of these gun shows, they are federally licensed firearms dealers, and they have to do background checks at those dealers or at those gun shows. So I really think that this is the right thing to do, and that's why I wrote this legislation.
Thank you, Senator Wongard. And Representative Kessler, your closing argument as to why you don't think it's a good idea.
Well, first let me say I respect Senator Wongard and his background, and he certainly makes an important contribution to this issue and the many issues that he deals with. But I think in this case what we are doing, if we pass his legislation, we are going to increase the number of suicides, and we're going to increase the number of deaths as a result of, frankly, family abuse. And that scares me, and for those reasons alone, I think we have to oppose this.
Thank you Representative Kessler. Thanks to both of our guest lawmakers. Now it's your turn. You've heard what they've had to say. What's your answer to today's big question? Should Wisconsin eliminate its two-day waiting period for buying handguns? It's your turn to sound off. We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike in Delafield is first. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I'm just kind of calling in. Anecdotally, I am currently debating purchasing a video game. Obviously, this is nothing similar to a handgun, but I've waited several days and kind of balanced out the pros and cons of this purchase. I guess I just don't understand why I'm willing to wait to make a purchase of something so trivial, but when it comes to handguns, which is clearly not a trivial thing and potentially a very dangerous thing, why the senator does not find it necessary to have a waiting period, or why this inconvenience would be so great that we would need to pass legislation to...
Thank you very much, Mike. We give everybody 30 seconds in the sound-off portion. Paul in Elkhorn. Hello, Paul.
Hi. That previous caller, that was kind of silly, but when he decides, even though he self-imposed his weight, he can then literally walk into Walmart and walk out in 2 seconds. But anyhow, I support repealing the 48-hour waiting period. I personally carry a firearm every single day, and it's rather silly that I can walk into a gun store with the gun on my hip, and they have to say, hey, we have to make sure that you aren't going to, you need to cool off before you can buy another gun. So I support the repeal of the 48-hour waiting period.
Thank you, Paul. Donna in Burlington, we'll go to you next. Hi, Donna.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that I am in favor of gun possession, but I think our waiting periods need to be far longer. People can walk into a gun store, purchase a gun, and they don't get any training in gun safety. They don't even know how to properly operate it. That's all left up to them. And I really don't think waiting 2 days is going to turn anybody into a victim or is going to make them a second-class citizen. Women go through all sorts of restrictions just for something like abortion, which is the law of the land, and yet you can walk in and get a gun and not have to do anything.
Thank you, Donna. Jim in Fond du Lac. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm just thinking, I think this is all going too far. You know, I was at a couple of stores recently, you know, grocery stores, and Sunday morning at 9 in the morning, there's all families in there. And here's two guys standing there with open carry guns right in line, right in front of me. And it's like, really, you know, you turned us into a southern state, and I'm thinking this is nuts.
Thanks, Jim. We're out of time now for our sound-off portion for today's big question. You can continue voting online. We have our big question posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and at WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Caleb Lato, and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.